your hosts, Rick Flieger and Rick Briggs.
Welcome back to an all-new episode of the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show here on the Asylum Fantasy Sports Network and AsylumFantasySports.com. I have a special guest in studio, somebody you all may remember. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Mr. Rick Briggs.
Yes, sir. We are Flieger and Briggs. If you didn't know that, you should by now. Yes, I am back. You know, Rick, and it's good to be back, and it's a twofold purpose, really.
Ooh, okay.
I mean, you know, number one, obviously, contrary to what most listeners would think, I actually enjoy coming down here and being insulted and insulting back. It's fun.
You have a funny way of showing enjoyment, yeah. But I believe you, knowing you as I do.
But, you know, the second fold of it is, you know, I had to get back because, quite frankly, you were doing such a good job with me.
Yeah. Gone. I was going to squeeze you out.
I was getting ready to get the boot, and I needed to come back in and bring the show down
a little bit. Bring it down, because if the numbers started taking off and we start getting commercial endorsements without you and I squeeze you out, so you got to bring the show back to the level that you normally provide.
Exactly. So Ford, Chrysler, get out. I'm back.
We won't take your money, and Rick Briggs is back.
Yeah.
All right, Rick, well, let's jump right into it here. A million things to cover. Of course, we got game balls. We got stinky socks. Not going to go over a lot of the headlines. Check out Fantasy Sports Network, fantasysportsnetwork.com, Saturday at 1 o'clock Eastern. You can get all the headlines there. And, of course, we'll have the most up-to-date stuff on the slant. But we do got to talk about our boy, Rick, Big Ben Roethlisberger, 4 to 6 weeks. And, quite frankly, it's a miracle it was that.
Yeah, I mean, thank the heavens or the football gods, whatever. He's
Yahweh.
built like a tree trunk,
right?
Because
that looked bad. That looked so
Carson
bad.
Carson Palmer, you know what happened to him when he got hit.
I thought for sure
Brady,
it was over.
Some of them, yeah.
I thought at minimum, best case scenario, that was an ACL. That didn't look too far off of a break either,
right?
Which I guess is what this deep bone bruise is. I never understood that. It sounds like it hurts like a hell, but I never understood what it was. But he was real close to having that leg broken.
You get somebody like him missing 4 to 6 weeks, it hurt.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. He's already barking like he might be able to come back next week in week five.
Right.
We'll see about that. Don't be surprised, though, if he doesn't come back a week or two early. Yeah, at minimum, I hear a lot of, you know, when you hear on the big networks, out 4 to 6 weeks, but this is likely a six-week injury. Ben Roethlisberger, don't be surprised if it's 4 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. And don't be surprised if it's even three. I mean, it's a sprained MCL is the diagnosis. Not torn, not even pulled. It's sprained.
Right.
You know, nothing's broken. Yeah, this guy, there's something about him, you know.
And let's not forget the fact this year, unlike in years past, and I think this is a point a lot of the big networks are missing, is they talk about how key this is, about how it limits his mobility. We haven't seen that junk this year, Rick, even second half of last year. The way this offense is structured, the offensive line is healthy and playing well. He's dropping back, making his pass 45 of them a game for 350 yards. He hasn't done all these evasive maneuvers.
Right.
We all know Ben Roethlisberger before. He's become a legitimate pocket passing quarterback, which might speed his recovery.
Well, because he can.
Right. Well, exactly.
Before, he was running for his life every time he got the ball. You know, and he's having the year that he was having with Marquise Pouncey out. I mean,
right.
This line is very solid.
Yeah, no question about that. So, two questions we got to look at here. We'll start with just a general football perspective. Number one, do the Steelers survive this? Can the Steelers survive this? Number two, we'll talk about what does it mean for Le'Veon Bell? What does it mean for Antonio Brown, and maybe to a lesser degree, I don't know, Heath Miller? You got Martavis Bryant coming back next week. How does this affect? Obviously, it crushes you if Ben Roethlisberger was your fantasy quarterback. This is one of the three best quarterbacks in fantasy football. But what does it mean for these other guys? But let's start out first, Rick. Let's say 4 games. What does this do to the Pittsburgh Steelers for 4 games, who have a murderer's row of a schedule coming up over these next 4 weeks?
Yeah, they do. It means, number one, you don't have one of the best quarterbacks in the league on the field. Simple as that. We saw the struggles they had adapting to Todd Haley's offense.
But you nailed it. That's where I was going, Rick.
So that's my biggest concern right there. Michael Vick, fortunately, is a veteran. and has a pretty good grasp of the NFL. He's never had a Todd Haley offense, which, of course, I think, you know, it takes some doing. I think they're going to, and I don't want to use the term dumb it down, but I think they're going to simplify it some just because they're going to have to.
Right.
Number two, what's it mean to Heath Miller? Well, I could see maybe a dip in his production for the simple reason him and Mike Vick really don't have the chemistry that, you know, I mean, he's become Ben's security blanket. And maybe they will. I mean, I don't know. It's a tough thing to say. But they just doesn't – you don't have the timing, and I'm not just with Heath Miller, but everybody. You just right. don't have the timing and everything in the offense. I think Le'Veon Bell is going to be fine. I think the running game is going to be fine.
He might be better. I wonder if he might be better in a PPR format especially.
Could be.
I don't know how well – and we'll talk about Antonio Brown next – I don't know how well and how much they're going to trust Michael Vick to push the ball down the field. We know he's got a cannon. He can throw the ball out of the stadium. We've got videos of that at least 10 years ago. I guess we don't know what the arm strength is now. But I think if – and here becomes the first and most important question. Excellent point with Vick being able to pick up Todd Haley's offense. And quite frankly, it took Ben Roethlisberger a year and a half to pick up. Now, does that mean that offense is that complicated? Because remember, Ben was being pretty stubborn about it as well.
That's
so
true
I don't know
too.
How much, which is which, how much either direction. But Todd Haley's a stubborn guy. Is he willing to adjust and make this offense work for Michael Vick? See, here's where they could be all right. Look, you're not going to come out of this completely unscathed. You got the Ravens tomorrow night. You travel out to San Diego on Monday. Now, you never know what Chargers team you're going to get. You could get a Chargers team that looks unbeatable, or you could get a Chargers team that makes the Jaguars look like the Patriots. That's up in the air. Then you're welcoming the Cardinals into your place. Then you've got to go to Kansas City, who we don't know who Kansas City is. We never know who they are, but that's a tough place to play. And if this stretches into 5 weeks or 6 weeks, then you've got the Bengals and the Raiders. So this is a rough schedule.
Oh, there's no question about that. Yeah, Kansas City, I think we do know who Kansas City is. Look, they bumbled away a game to Denver. They had them beat against
right.
one of the best defenses in the league. Okay? They lost to Green Bay.
Right.
Which is a very legitimate loss, who I think is the best team right now in the NFL. Kansas City is a very good team. They're a playoff team in my mind. I think they're going to be a playoff team. Baltimore is a dangerous.
Especially at 0-3. That team's too good to go 0-4, Rick. They have to be.
You would think. Well,
especially against a Michael Vick team.
That's one thing. But let's not forget, Joe Flacco's eaten Steeler defenses for lunch the last few years.
That's his
favorite thing to do. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that game really worries me. Arizona right now just looks like monsters.
Oh, you're not touching Arizona without a Ben Roethlisberger.
I mean, if they get out of it, they get out of that 2-2, it looks like a success.
That'd be a miracle. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, you're going to give a game or two away to Cincinnati, and you're playing for the wild card. But so be it. And so we look at Le'Veon Bell. I think he's fine. Maybe less in the running game. If you're in a standard league. Now, look, you're not sitting Le'Veon Bell down. But maybe you temper your expectations there, because how much fear do our defense is going to have a Michael Vick? You're going to crowd the line of scrimmage and try to take that run game away from Le'Veon Bell. But I think if Todd Haley isn't stubborn and tailors this offense and simplifies it for Michael Vick, which is a big if, quite frankly, then I think Le'Veon Bell shines even more than he normally does in a PPR format. Antonio Brown's the wild card here. Because he's not going to have the amount of opportunities. But he is so damn good, Rick. I don't know if there's any slowing him down. Maybe you don't see 12 for 190. Maybe you see 8 for 120. But I think Antonio Brown's fine. Because if I'm Michael Vick and all else fails, just fling it up somewhere near the kid. He's going to make the play. If Michael Vick can still extend plays, and that's a big if because he's not the guy he was 10, 12 years ago, if he can still extend plays, Antonio Brown is the best receiver in the league at busting coverage, finding an open space somewhere and making big plays. So I have no worry about Le'Veon Bell. I'm at about a 10% panic level on Antonio Brown, but I'm at about a 75% panic level as a Steeler fan in general.
Yeah, and let's face it. It rests on Michael Vick. And not in the way, oh, yeah, you know, the, like it rested on Charlie Batch or something like that. Charlie Batch knew the system, knew the team, and did what he had to do when he came in. Michael Vick, to your point, he can't do what he used to do.
No.
He has to know that. He hasn't played really much in the last, what, 3 years?
He played a lot in 2013 before
he
got hurt.
Yeah, 2013, exactly. So he has to realize what he can and cannot do any longer, and he has to learn to utilize the weapons, which are everywhere on this team.
They really are.
I mean, he came from some teams.
And next week when you get Martavis Bryant back.
Exactly. He came from some teams where he was the primary weapon. He's not. He's just a catalyst to get them the ball, and that's what he has to realize. Give it to your weapons and let the line take care of everything else.
Now, here is where the fantasy, the football gods you talked about, football Yahweh, here is where football Yahweh gives and football
Galway?
Yahweh takes
like away. Galway girls?
I think that Yahweh.
Oh, maybe.
I think somebody uses that for
Jesus.
I like
Jesus that song,
or
Galway girls.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, man.
But what is this?
You ever heard of Steve Earle? Copperhead Road.
Okay, I know Copperhead Road.
Yeah, he did Galway Girl. Great song.
He should have stuck with Copperhead Road.
Yeah, good song. You never heard it, so you don't know.
That's a fair point. I'll give you that one. So, worst case scenario, the stupid, as much as I like one more day of football,
stupid
Thursday night games, this is terrible. So, not only do you lose Ben Roethlisberger, you got Michael Vick coming into this tough offensive scheme, going against a division rival, when you get to do it on all a 3 days rest. So so much for your player safety crap there, Roger Goodell.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where football Yahweh takes away. But here's where he giveth. So now they play Thursday, and then they're off till Monday night before they go to San Diego. So I think we could see disaster tomorrow, and then we're going to know what we're going to have with Michael Vick next week, because now he's got, what, 12 days to prepare for
right.
that game. So there's Yahweh giving it back to you a little bit. So I expect complete and utter disaster almost on all fronts. Of course, I'm not going to tell you to sit Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown, but you could see complete and utter disaster tomorrow night. But I think you're avoid them in your daily leagues, obviously. But I think you're going to be okay going forward. I love having that 12 days after that game to get Vic
and
prepared.
I'll tell you another thing that Yahweh is given or whatever. Baltimore don't have many weapons.
They should be able to move the ball.
Should, but they haven't.
Right. Oh, offensively, they got no weapons.
Well,
they got Steve Smith,
about.
And that's where it ends.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, and Lord knows that he's been knocking it dead. Nobody can seem to stop the guy. And it's surprising to me.
Right.
I mean, not take away, I think this guy's a Hall of Famer. They can't stop him.
No.
He's 106 years old.
No, minimum. Minimum.
You know, so.
Bold prediction, though, the way, as take it as a Steeler fan who has watched a lot of these games between these two teams over the year. Do you know this is going to be the seventh time in his career Ben Roethlisberger has missed a Ravens game?
Really?
This always happens, Lena. They're 1-5. This is the seventh game. Coming in, there was that one game where
that's a great stat.
I believe it was either Batch or Dixon. I can't remember. Threw that late touchdown that wasn't within a yard and a half of a touchdown. I remember he caught it. His feet were in the end zone, but the ball was about on a 2 yard line. I can't even remember who the receiver was.
Yeah, exactly.
And they gave him the touchdown, and the Steelers won like 13-9
yep.
or something. One of them classic Ravens Steelers games when there was defense on both teams.
Right.
Now there's zippy defense between the two of them, especially with Suggs out. So you could see a shootout. I've completely forgot where I was going with that right now. Oh, bold prediction.
Yeah, bold prediction.
Marlon Brown has a long touchdown in this game. There's always somebody late in these games, if this game manages to stay close, who isn't named Steve Smith or Anquan Boldin, who's obviously moved on, who tortures the Steelers and the Steelers' secondary.
Joe
Flacco finds these secondary targets against that.
Since we, make our predictions on the slant and the Thursday night games already played, let's do it tonight. Let's make your prediction for Thursday night's game.
I wrote for the Fantasy Greeks preview I wrote last night. I've got bold prediction, Brown with a long touchdown, and I've got Baltimore winning this game 31-16.
All right.
I think it could be disastrous. Just on the short turnaround is my biggest issue.
Bold prediction from Rick Briggs.
No, you're not going to do it.
Steelers 29, Baltimore 24.
That was your prediction right there. That's bold. I'll give you that. If you're right, you're going to look like a stud you'll be the only one betting on that.
All right, yeah, and boy, I tell you what, yeah, apologies to our boy Jim Serenti as a fantasy Greek. I have just been off the grid, and, you know, I usually do a lot of work for him as well as you do during the season. I've done squat the last 2 weeks.
You told everybody what you have going on. I didn't know if I was allowed to talk about it on the slant. Why don't you plug what's about to happen to one Mr. Rick Briggs?
Well, we're just
with your monocle. You're like the Monopoly guy now. Rick Briggs, yes. The business owner, the mogul.
Yes, we wife and I have purchased a business, and we're trying to get renovations done and opened up, hopefully, in about a week and a half, we're hoping. So, I mean, maybe 2 weeks at the most. But
well, it's nice to see a husband and wife being able to run a strip club together. That's very impressive. Yeah, I give you a progressive family you guys are.
Well, yeah. I mean, we are. We're open to, you know. I mean, it's a family strip club, though.
Okay,
you
that's
know?
Good, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, kids can do it. We don't care.
Right,
you
class know? It up a little bit, no doubt about it. So
no, but that we're going to it's going to be a retail store. It's called Rosemary Lane. So
I was going to ask you that. I didn't even know what the name was. I just go there and mock your handiwork. I don't ask any serious, hard-hitting questions about the business.
He has no interest whatsoever. Actually, in his defense, though, I think it was last week, he actually held a board.
I did.
Because
I
he's
did.
Tall.
Yeah, yeah. So
and everybody else in my family is a midget.
So my fingerprints are all over that place. You can thank me when the business takes
Boy,
off.
I'll tell you what.
I expect a sign somewhere thanking me for my contribution. All right, Rick, let's get into it. So many game balls, so many smelly socks. I don't even know where to start. You've been off for the last 6 weeks. Dealer's choice,
six
Rick.
6 weeks?
UKP. That's what it felt like on Sunday, anyhow.
Yeah, and I apologize, but I actually was going to call in. Just couldn't do it, man. I tell you, I was building a wall and got it done, too.
Well, that's good. Is it straight-ish?
It's plumb, square, perfect.
Yeah, come on, a quarter inch is close enough.
No, I'm telling
that.
You what. I tell you what.
It's like that Amish
perfect.
Craftsmanship.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that time? It wasn't Liz Lowe's, wasn't it? Asked if you were Amish. You
yeah. Well, it actually didn't ask me. Ask when I went off the air, well, I just stayed in the studio and was listening. Well, her and John Evans were talking.
They were mocking your
because I'm from
diction.
Northern Pennsylvania, saying I was, you know, sounded rural.
Rural, whatever that means.
You know, rural. And, you know, so and, well, that's what John said. What do you mean rural? You know, she goes, you know, out in the country, rural. And he goes, oh, rural. And he goes, yes. And then so they got this discussing Pennsylvania and says, well, you know, there's a lot of Amish people in there. Maybe he's Amish. And then John said, no, he wouldn't be on cell phones and computers.
I'm guessing the Amish. I wonder if there's any Amish fantasy football league. We need to look into that.
Yeah. Wonder if they ought to have, like, you know, instead of NASCAR, maybe like NAS Buggy or something.
That could be. Yeah, I don't know. They got it. What do they do for fun? Do they do anything for fun?
I drink.
Well, I know they're a bunch of drunks. I can attest to that.
Which
I have
is
seen
fine. Everybody
hammered.
Is, you
I have
know.
Seen some hammered Amish.
Yeah.
Hammered.
Yeah, I know. Okay, let's go for some game balls.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
My first game ball goes my boy, Greg Olsen. Finally exploded. You know, 8 catches, 134, and 2 touchdowns. 8 catches on 11 targets. Just a great game for Greg Olsen. What I expected to see a lot of him, and he's slow started. Going to say, oh boy, a bold prediction for Greg Olsen. But I tell you what, looks like Greg Olsen of last year now.
And I think you're going to see a lot of that going forward. Quite frankly, what was it? 2 weeks ago, I hopped on. With our boy Dan Claskins on Fox Sports down there in Cincinnati, and we talked about how much concern we have about certain players going forward. This was after week one when we were all in panic mode about everything. And we talked a good long time about Greg Olsen, and yeah, it was a slow start. And I think that offense is poor enough to where there's going to be games like this where they're just not moving the ball and not even Greg Olsen can bail them out. They're still in a pretty bad division. And as far as I'm concerned, by and large, a top-heavy conference, quite frankly. The NFC is so top-heavy, but there are some god-awful teams in that conference. So
yeah.
Carolina is going to continue to be one of the better teams in that division and in that conference.
Right.
So I think Greg Olsen has plenty of opportunities.
Yeah.
He's going to break your heart at some time. I hope it doesn't come during the playoffs. But I think this stat line, something you can expect more often than not. I think Greg Olsen's that good.
Yeah, he's that good. He has great chemistry with Cam Newton, and that defense is good enough to keep them in most games. So he's always going to have opportunities to be heavily involved. I agree.
All right, we're doing a game ball here, so I'm going to start right at the top. I did not see this one coming, Rick, and I heard other folks predicting it, folks telling me, get this guy in your daily lineup, and I ignored it, so I missed the boat big time on this one. Devontae Freeman, 30 carries, 141 yards, 3 touchdowns with our boy, I called him Tevin Coleman or something.
Right.
And I botched it with our boy from Tony Tone, but – he's out. He's going to be back shortly. Simple as this, Rick. Buy or sell Devontae Freeman. Buy or sell that performance.
You know, that's such a tough call because he's been very sketchy, you know, during his career. And Atlanta's run game has been very sketchy,
right,
too. It's one of those things you love it when you have – I mean, I have not really believed fantasy-wise in anything from Atlanta on the running back situation since Michael Turner had some
right.
of those years.
Right, and that was early on. He had some bad years
yeah,
at the end there
exactly.
as well.
So I don't know what to make of it. You know, do I say, oh, yeah, you better get him in every week? I don't know that. I mean, I'd hate to say, yeah, you better start Devontae Freeman, and all of a sudden he goes back to 22 yards and 2 catches.
I think you've got to start him this week.
Oh, I think, yeah.
If you have him. However, I don't buy it. I think he'll
be
fine,
is,
but I don't buy it.
Point is, you have Devontae Freeman, okay?
Right.
Somewhere along the line, you had 2 starting running backs.
Exactly.
Okay, we have to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, obviously you're going to start your Jamaal Charles, all that, who is the number one back. Say you have, trying to think of somebody, Latavius Murray.
You know what? I'm going to play Murray. No, I can't, Rick. I can't. I absolutely, after that performance, it might cost me this week. I almost have to have him, Freeman, in the top 6 or 7 this week. It may burn me. Or do I wait? Take the wait and see. You know me. I'm going to shove.
He has 4
in.
Touchdowns. But he has 3 in one game.
Right. Exactly.
Latavius Murray right
has been
now
a stud. Has been
right
a stud.
Now is behind him in fantasy scoring, but he's got 60 more yards. You know, and he only has the 2 touchdowns, obviously. But they're right at the same production, basically in receiving. You know, they're about 11 points apart, but it said there's 2 extra touchdowns from Freeman, but he's not going to get 3 touchdowns every game.
Right.
That's what scares me about
it. You know what, I'm backing off, and he's going – it happened one time. He's going up against Houston this week, who it still plays a pretty good brand of defense, especially on the defensive line. I'm going to take Latavius Murray there.
Mark Ingram.
I'm going to play Freeman over Ingram.
Okay. I probably would, too. Another surprise stud, Deion Lewis.
Well, he's got a bye week this week.
Okay,
so
yeah, he's in a bye, so that doesn't count. Gio Bernard.
Well, I think I'm going to play Freeman, but we could talk about Bernard later if we want.
Yeah, I mean, see, that's the thing, I guess, where when you go in there, yeah, you can say, yeah, you start him, but you have to realize where a lot of these owners got him. They have a stable. You would think that they would have a stable of 2 starting
probably,
backs.
Probably, because he was your 4th running back drafted, I have
right.
to imagine.
So, I mean, I guess you get to a point where you have to figure out, do I bench a starter who actually is performing? I mean, some of them probably aren't.
Right.
You know, like maybe, I don't know, a T.J. Yeldon or something
yeah.
like that. Yeah, man, get him out of there. Put Freeman in there. But you have to be a little cautious on some of these guys.
Yeah, I think, you know, I play him over, yeah, let's come up with a list real quick. I play him over, Yeldon was a good one. I play him over Lamar Miller. I play him over Justin Forsett. A lot of these guys, it would have been
okay,
drafted.
How about Carlos Hyde now?
I think over Carlos
Hyde. I do, too, now after that first week.
When all of San Francisco looked like, wow, we missed on that one in the offseason. And then for 2 weeks, we see what we expected from San Francisco, maybe even a little worse than what we expected, as they just get their doors absolutely blown off twice. I'm not sure it's a Carlos Hyde problem as much as it is a 49ers problem, but I think the ceiling's higher on a Freeman and the floor's not quite as low without Campbell out there.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's just a lot of dilemmas. And we're going to get a lot of this during the slant. I can already see it.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be
Devontae Freeman or Chris Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, there's another one. I mean, and it's going to be –
I think it's going to be that one. It's going to be Freeman with Ellington, assuming Ellington does come back.
That's the thing, though. I mean, we talked about who was it? Do we rush Arian Foster back? You know, you're talking about him. Okay, you just had Chris Johnson just put out a game like he did last week.
And back-to-back 20-carry games, which that's the stunning part.
Right.
Less, more so than the production, which is stunning.
Yeah.
42 carries over two games. You can knock me over with a feather when it comes to that.
Right, exactly. But the point I was trying to make, do you really need to rush Ellington in?
No, certainly not.
Give him another week of rest. Let Johnson carry the load. Then if you want to lighten it up a little bit, make sure Ellington's okay.
True.
I mean, this is a
because
team.
Because he's never okay, so no, another week of rest can't hurt him.
Exactly. But if you're going to throw him in there, let Johnson rest. But see, this is a team that has been plagued, with it seems like, on offense with injuries year after year.
Right.
I just say don't push it.
All right. So that's enough positivity there, Rick. That was way too kind from all of us. Let's get into what you do best and crush somebody.
Oh, and I'll tell you what. This guy, this is something that we need to discuss in other versions or somewhere along the line. We were talking about buy low or cut bait or, you know, on some of these guys on the Fantasy Sports Network show. Alfred Morris.
Yeah.
6 carries, 19 yards. This is a 1,000-yard runner. I think every year he's been in the league.
Right.
And he's a young man. And all of a sudden, he's not even starting. I don't get it.
And the thing is, in week one, he got the job done.
Right.
In week two, he got phased out for the rookie. In week three, everybody got shut down. But the concerning part is he's not seeing the ball.
No.
And I talked about – I can't remember what show it was last week, Rick, where I talked about him and I talked about this situation, and I got rid of all that paperwork just right before we went on the air. I wish I'd have held on to it. There was a quote from Gruden that said – Alfred Morris is still going to be the primary back in this offense. The way that Giants game went, the pace of play, the down and distance, everything just worked against Alfred Morris. But he still says, and he was pretty clear about it, which you don't get from a coach very often, that Alfred Morris is still the lead back on this team. The problem is you can't trust it. Ideally, you would think as well as both of these guys have ran so far, as well as the Redskins as a team have run the ball, and as god-awful as Kirk Cousins is, you know, we talk about it so often, you almost think you'd have a Ronnie Brown-Ricky Williams situation here, but it's kind of been a one or the other. So how involved do you want to get into that? You know, in a bye week and an injury situation, you may have no choice. But I think for the most part, you've got to avoid this until you see them both getting work. You know, ideally, what you see is Alfred Morris getting 20 carries, averaging 4 yards a carry, and getting the goal line work and being just sort of average, good, solid RB2, high-end flex kind of guy. And then you see the rook come in and get the splash plays, and he's going to end up with 12 carries for 60 yards, 70 yards, bust the long touchdown, have some success in the passing game, but they haven't shown that that's how they're going to work these guys yet. Now, Gruden seems to indicate that's his intention, but we haven't seen it yet.
And they make up, you know, all these reasonings. Well, Alfred Morris wasn't used a lot because they were trailing to the Giants. most of the game.
Well, they're going to be trailing to everybody most of the game.
Well, I mean, okay, they lost to Miami. He had 121 yards against Miami
right
in week one. They blew the doors off St. Louis in week two. You would think in a game like that, ball control, he had 59 yards. Now against the Giants in week three, he has 19 yards, only six carries.
That's my concern because he's a volume guy.
And that speaks volumes to me, like, quite frankly. And he's got a stinky sock for week three from Ole Miss.
And I think what you have to look at, and we'll get off of this because I don't want the whole show to be on the Redskins running back situation. You talk about they blew the doors off of St. Louis, and they really did. They dominated them for even as close as that score was.
24-10 is not even close.
Right, you're right, in the NFL especially. Matt Jones was the main reason for that, quite frankly. Kirk Cousins did nothing. They got a nice defensive performance, but that was a Matt Jones game, and he was the reason they did what they did in week two, and then they gave him the bulk of the work against the Giants.
He only had 11 carries against the Giants.
Well,
fumble loss.
Yeah.
And so they gave it to Thompson.
Yeah, and who had this Thompson donkey showed up out of nowhere and took all the glory. So hard to say there. That's a situation I'm glad I'm not in. For as much love as I gave him in the preseason, I have no Alfred Morris shares whatsoever. So guess I dodged a bit of a bullet there. So many guys for my stinky sock, Rick, but I'm going to do this one because just for some reason I flat don't like the guy, and I haven't since he was a rookie, and it might be because he got so hyped up and everybody told me he was the next greatest quarterback and I disagreed and was mocked roundly. How about your boy Colin Kaepernick, Rick? A stout 9-for-19 for 67 yards and only four picks. Not a bad performance out of the next Joe Montana, Colin Kaepernick.
Colin Kaepernick is probably the I will say C.J. Spiller is the diamond call of the asylum. Colin Kaepernick is the ruby call because I tell you what, we didn't buy into him from day one when he was making some of these splashes. He surprised a few people early on. They had a dominant defense. He rode that train. The next year they were used to him.
Right.
Things started changing
NFL
for them.
NFL figures these guys out.
Yeah, and they have to adapt. Hey, look, guys like Peyton Manning and them, they don't sit there and go into the film room hours on end before everybody, staying there just because they just think it's great. This guy reads defenses. That's why he's still effective. He's 30. He throws lame ducks all over the place.
Oh, awful.
But the point is, he throws it 2 seconds before the defense is ready for it.
Right, every time.
Because he knows what to do. A lot of these young guys, they can't figure it out. And no fault to them. It's complicated. And that's why there's only so many people like Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, et cetera. Colin Kaepernick is a great athlete. Does a lot of running around, did a lot of things when the defense was basically making things easier for them. I mean, but that team has imploded, and he's imploding right along with them.
Yeah, and I bring it up. Look, everybody's finally on board with us. I don't think we heard a lot of clamoring for Colin Kaepernick in this preseason. I just basically bring that up because I'm petty and I'm a child, and going back to 2012, pretty much just wanted to say, told you so.
Yeah.
Told you so.
Yep. You betcha. Ding, ding. All right. I'm going to give a game ball. I don't like – well, you know what? I'm going to give it to somebody who hasn't had a game ball from either one of us.
All right.
Rashard Matthews. 113 yards, two touchdowns.
What do we make of him? This is all season with this kid.
Well, you know, time will tell, but he sure looks like the real deal right now. And you know, he's kind of like Devontae Freeman in a way. You know, is he going to be an automatic start now? You know, I don't really know that. But, you know, right now you're looking at 16 catches, 262 yards, and three touchdowns. Not bad. I think I'd ride him while I can. Going up against an awful tough Jet defense this week. So, I guess if we get to the slant, it's going to be between who he's going against. Because I don't think this kid's on that Miami offense, as high as I was on Ryan Tannehill going in, their running game's dissolved.
Oh, Lamar Miller's been
yeah.
maybe one of the busts of the year.
Exactly. And So, yeah, I don't know if he's an automatic start.
He's getting there, Rick.
He's getting there. There's no question about that. And he's right behind DeAndre Hopkins as far as fantasy points.
Yeah, I mean, three touchdowns, leading that team as much as – and it's interesting. Jarvis Landry's still been the target hawk. And in a PPR format, Landry's putting up his numbers, but you haven't seen the splash plays. The splash plays have come from Matthews. We're talking to guy, Rick, you Dynasty guys probably talked a lot about him in the preseason. This is a guy who wasn't even on my radar. And, you know, 1 week from a wide receiver especially, I kind of, okay, that was nice. That's great. You give me 2 weeks of it, and now 3 weeks of it, Rick. Now you got my attention.
Yeah.
Now this guy's a focus in the offense. The offense has struggled, quite frankly. But while Landry's doing what we expected and getting a ton of catches and getting yardage, it's Matthews making the splash plays. When they need a play, that's the way they're going. So certainly something to keep an eye on.
Oh, yeah, he's had, what, 228 yards the last 2 weeks. So, yeah, I mean, he's right there. There's no question about that. I really like this kid.
All right, so let's jump on. I got to give a game ball here. I was gonna
be positive now.
I was going to go to Steve Smith right off the top, but we talked enough about him early on in the show. Here's one we got to talk about, Rick. I don't know what the hell to do, but for this week, and he got one in week one, certainly didn't get one in week two. Keenan Allen, Rick, 12, a buck 33,
yeah,
and two touchdowns. What in the world do you do if you're a Keenan Allen owner? Because there is every possibility he comes out and takes a hook this week. A zippy, nada. But he's got this in him as well. Bottom line, you have got to play this
you
guy.
You have to
but
play
he is
him.
Going, he is going to win individually. He's going to win you X amount of games, and he is going to individually and personally lose you probably an equal amount of games. This is why I avoided the guy.
My biggest advice to fantasy owners – is pedal him now.
Maybe.
After a huge game, get something good. And, you know, depending on what you're looking for. You could get I don't know. I mean, it depends on what your team needs is, but you could get a solid running back.
Right.
You could get, you know, especially like in a PPR format, you could get somebody like, I don't know, Greg Olsen, Jimmy Graham,
right,
something like that.
Maybe a Mike Evans, somebody like that you could get. Would you make that deal? I would.
I don't know if I would or not. I am not sold on this Tampa Bay offense. I mean, Mike Evans has just been horrifying.
Well, he missed game one due to
true.
The injury. Game two, they rushed him out, basically used him as a really flashy and expensive decoy. Now, week three, he was back. He was healthy. 7 catches for 101 yards. I think he's still the first option in that offense.
Right.
I think I'd feel better about Evan. Because here's the problem. You're going to see 4 or 5 more games like this out of Keenan Allen. But you're going to see 4 or 5 games of what you saw in week two. Absolute zilch. Nada. Zippy.
Right.
I can't live with that. If you have a high, high risk and stress tolerance – by all means, Keenan Allen is your man. I can't do it. And I don't want to roll into the playoffs and then he has one of those disappearing acts in week one of the playoffs and my season's over. This guy is just absolutely terrifying.
Exactly. I mean, 166 yards in week one, 16 yards in week two, 133 in week three. Does that mean against Cleveland this week he gets 22 yards?
In
I don't
all
know.
Likelihood.
It could.
And it's not matchup-based. There's no logic to it.
No,
there's
not.
No predicting it. I've gone back when we talked about this a ton last year. You go back and you look at it, there is no rhyme or reason for any of it. Any week, there's no matchup. It's just some weeks, he's the 100% focus.
Right.
And other weeks, he disappears.
Yeah. In that 24-19 loss to Cincinnati in week two, you know, 16 yards. Yeah, they scored 19 points, you know, pretty close, tight game. He got the doors blown off him by Minnesota, 31-14. He scores both touchdowns, 133 yards.
They got their teeth kicked in.
I know, just destroyed. It's terrible. I love Keenan Allen, and you know, I'm not nearly as high on Phil Rivers as I was 2 or 3 years ago. I was looking for more of a resurgence from him. He's Jekyll and Hyde all the time, too. But Keenan Allen is just like
– Well, let's not forget, in 2013, you were a captain of the SS Keenan Allen. You were onto this kid early, and you look like a genius, and then he just fell off the table in 2014. And now this year's the perfect mixture of what's best and worst about Keenan Allen. It just scares the hell out of me.
It does.
Simple
it,
as that.
It really does. Okay, I'm going to give a stinky sock. Is that what we're at?
Yes, yeah. It's time to get negative.
You know what? I want to give one gigantic stinky sock to three people all at once. I mean, it's a monster-sized sock, and it stinks, and I'm giving it to three people. And I'm giving it to three people because they all had nothing. Torrey Smith, Terrence Williams, and Roddy White.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Notice you couldn't give it to Roddy all on his own. Oh, you had to bring those other two
in. I gave him one last week. But, okay, you have Terrence Williams targeted twice by backup quarterback Brandon Whedon. Let's not forget, Dez Bryant is injured, so Terrence Williams is now the number one wide receiver on Dallas.
Right.
He was targeted twice by Brandon Whedon.
You can't explain it.
I can.
They only ran the
Brandon
ball four
Whedon
times.
Brandon Whedon don't have a clue what's going on.
Well, that's right. They only ran the ball four times in the second half,
yeah,
which was stupid. They'd have won that game
right
if they'd have kept doing what they were doing. Joseph Randall just tearing the doors off him. Lance Dunbar's got 10 catches, and you don't even target a Terrence Williams. He's your only playmaker left at the wide receiver position. Don't give me Cole Beasley. Get out of it. All you Cole Beasley people can take a hike. I'm done
Cole
with him.
Cole Beasley, I don't know. Does his dad have DVDs of Golden Richard somewhere along the line? Because this kid he's just like the, you know, Golden Richard 40 years later. You know, the long blonde hair, the little guy wearing the Dallas Cowboy uniform. But, yeah, I agree with you. He's the playmaker. He's the burner. Use him. You know, Brandon Whedon, according to Jerry Jones, the most gifted damn passer he ever saw.
Well,
and he can't hit anybody.
To be fair, he only threw three interceptions, or incompletions, I mean. He was very efficient.
Well, yeah, if you're throwing 2 yards of Lance Dunbar, I could probably complete a few, too.
I'll tell you what, let's get off the – what do you make of Lance Dunbar? He's kind of making a little bit of habit of this. This is a guy I'm going to put in a flex in a PPR.
Why not? In PPR formats, the guy's valuable.
He's almost a must start, and he's a guy I slipped into quite a few daily leagues last weekend, and I had my best daily weekend in a long time. And I attribute a lot of it to Lance Dunbar. I got him for absolute nothing as my second running back in these leagues. And he's given me 10 for, I believe it was 100, right? I think he was right at 100 yards, 10 catches for 100. That's huge.
He got 21 catches for 215 yards.
Two out of three weeks. Yeah. He's been the primary target. He was Tony Romo's primary target in week one. And now with Whedon, I think they continue to do this.
I agree.
All right. Before we get to a stinky sock, Rick, just because my phone is blowing up here with a trade offer out there.
Okay.
In the League of Consequence.
All right.
And I don't know what to do with this one. I think I know what to do.
Okay.
I want your opinion and maybe the opinion of the listeners as well. Yeah, at Asylum Football if you want to tell me what side you're on. So as everybody knows, we did a whole show on it. I decided to go basically no running back in this league.
Yep, I recall.
And the wide receivers didn't even pan out quite how I wanted them to, although it looks a little better now with Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins continuing to get it done, and Mike Evans looks like he's turning around a little bit. Plus, I have Dante Moncrief, who's been real solid for me in a flex. But right now, after last week with Le'Veon Bell coming back, where D'Angelo Williams carried my team for 2 weeks, I'm down to my number one running back is Doug Williams, who's been a massive disappointment for me, a guy I bought too much into, and it looks like I was wrong on that one.
I told you so.
You did. That's a long one.
Boy,
wow.
Isn't it, though?
I roll with David Johnson as my number two last week. I can't do that with Ellington coming back. So right now I'm looking at Doug Martin and Rashad Jennings is my top two running backs, and playing wide receivers in the flex, which I'm fine with. Plus, I got Martellus Bennett at tight end. It looked real good until Jimmy Clausen rolled into town. Now that doesn't look so good for anybody there in Chicago. So
you basically have Rashad Jennings and Doug Martin.
That's about what it boils down
to. All right.
Nothing really to talk about behind that, you know, waiting for guys to get injured. to get back in the game. So, and this factors in for me, Rick. I don't know if you ever factor this into a trade, but the guy who has so far been untouchable and by leaps and bounds the best team in the league this year has offered me a deal.
Okay.
So he wants me to give up Mike Evans, who you've kind of expressed that you weren't all in on. I'm a little more in on him than you are. And he's offered me Deion Lewis and Vincent Jackson for my Mike Evans. So I guess I have two questions. Do I help myself enough to basically give up on my theory before the draft time? You know, this was supposed to be an experiment. Do I cut bait on that, number one? And number two, do I make said Mr. Tinelli, the creep, the cretin, the ne'er-do-well, does that help him too much that I bury any chances of winning a title by, like what we did with that other creep last year where we all made terrible trades to him and made him completely untouchable late in the season, which happened?
Yeah, it can happen. I mean, you always try to improve your team, obviously. Yeah, Vincent Jackson, he's only got 9 catches for the year.
Yeah, he's been terrible.
So
basically, I'm going to be rolling now. I'm going to move Moncrief up to my wide receiver 2, along with my wide receiver 3, along with Antonio Brown and Hopkins. And obviously, and now we're getting the bye out of the way early, actually, with Deion Lewis, and that's going to be my weekly flex play instead of rolling Brown, Hopkins, you know, Evans, and then playing Moncrief in my flex.
You know, on the surface, you would think, okay, man, you know, this is a no-brainer. Deion Lewis is great. It's still a New England back. New England backs scare me to death, too. And, you know, I'm not a huge Mike Evans guy, especially in the situation he's in right now.
Right. Where I feel comfortable with Lewis, I talked a lot on this on
you're going to have to drop a guy, too, remember.
Right. Well, I got plenty of guys I can drop. Don't worry about that. We'll be just fine there. No concerns there. Plenty of turd running backs who I can
go ahead
and give the boot to. Yeah, I thought I was a genius with this whole Cameron Artis Payne thing. They're not even dressing the kids, so I'm not going to worry about him too much. I can let him go. But I think Deion Lewis, where I have less fear with him, I agree 100% with the New England running back theory, and we saw LeGarrette Blount came out and 70-some and a touchdown, I believe. I got it written down here.
Yeah.
18 for 78 and 3 touchdowns,
eight touchdowns. Yeah.
Now, that was one of those games where they were racking up the score. So be it. But Deion Lewis is filling that Shane Vereen role where he may disappear a week here or there if that's not part of the game plan. But I think especially in a PPR, he continues to be a big part. He's not the true New England running back. He's filling that Shane Vereen role, which is where I feel better about him. I think I spent a half an hour on this on one of the shows last week than I would with the general Patriots running back.
Yeah. I tell you what, it's you know, your running back situation is bad. There's no question about that.
But it redefines bad. All right, let's take the trade out of it. Let me ask you this. What do you feel more comfortable with? Martin, Jennings, Brown, Hopkins, Evans, Moncrief as a starting lineup, or
hang on a minute.
All right. Yeah, sorry, everybody, but this is important business here. This is the league of consequence. Jennings and Martin. Then we've got Hopkins, Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, and Dante Moncrief. That's my starting lineup. We'll throw out the quarterbacks and the tight end. That doesn't matter.
Okay.
Or do you like Lewis, Doug Martin, Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, Dante Moncrief? Is that everybody?
I like I'd rather have Jennings and Martin in there.
You think?
And then have your big three wide receivers. If Evans had 100 yards last week?
7 for 101.
I'd rather have those three and Moncrief as your flex.
Right. Over Deion Lewis as my flex.
Yes. I would. That's my take on that. Look, I like Vincent Jackson, but I tell you what, Tampa's not very good. And, he's only got 9 catches for the year, and Evans just got 7 in a game.
Right, right. Yeah, Vincent Jackson's a throwaway. He's just a bench piece,
that's,
a bye week.
That's the thing. What's the point?
So basically, it's Evans for Lewis.
Right, and I think Evans is better.
I think you're right because I don't know what I do with my flex then. Because Moncrief becomes my number 3. I'm still looking at having to play Jennings or somebody else off the bench in my flex.
Yeah, if you're
right?
going to start Lewis as a running back, then you still have to have Jennings or somebody in the flex.
Right.
You don't want to stick Vincent Jackson in there.
No, I can't do that. Yeah, I don't think I can make this deal.
I don't think you can.
All right. Well, I'm going to text him back and tell him to pound it up his can here. All right, Rick, let's move on. I think I owe you a stinky sock. This one stuns me, and it's becoming a habit, and I'm getting nervous. As much as I'm a Gio Bernard fan and love what he is doing, once again, Jeremy Hill, 12 carries, 21 yards. This is one of my starts last week. Sorry about that. I was wrong on that one. This kid is going nowhere and going nowhere fast.
Well, that's one reason why I don't like to miss the slant, because you misguide everyone.
I tend to do that.
And
I hit on a few.
You know, I was looking for – and we talked about this in the preseason. I was looking for good things with Bernard. But I wasn't thinking what's happening.
You mean him being the primary back? Yeah.
I mean, we were talking about, you know, because a lot of the people were saying, okay, you know, Bernard's on the way out. He's not the guy. I got into a Twitter argument with somebody, you know, they're saying he's not talented enough to be the guy and this, that, and the other. I think he is. What the story is with Jeremy Hill, I'm not sure. But when we were expecting, say, I was expecting like a 60-40 Hill-Bernard sort of work, you know, load displacement. I mean, Gio Bernard is producing. Jeremy Hill's doing nothing.
No,
and this is an undefeated football team. It's not like they're struggling and they're trying to figure out what's going on.
How much are they going to change what they're doing?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm nervous, and we're listening to – I don't know if he'll come up on it, but we're going to talk about buy low or cut bait. I think Jeremy Hill's certainly a candidate for that, a guy we need to have a further discussion on. So
all right, I'll tell you what.
8 minutes left.
8 minutes left. You know what? I think we've given up enough balls and socks. I want to hit on something right now. Just
all right.
Regular football.
All right, let's do it.
Top 5 power rankings, just NFL teams, not – fantasy anything.
Okay, to me.
To you. Or who's your number 5 right now? You can I'll give you a minute to write them down.
Might be easier to go 1 to 5. So yeah.
Okay, whatever you want to do.
Pad for me while
I'm going to go. You want me to give my 5
yeah,
first?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. I'll take my headphones off so I'm not
Yeah, we're in different studios here.
That's right. So I'm not influenced by your picks.
Number 5 right now, Denver Broncos. And not typically the reason why you would think of Denver Broncos. It's not so much the offense. You know, look, they're making – Peyton Manning's still good enough to make you pay if you screw up. But it's the defense that's keeping them there. They won the first 2 games for him, and I dare say they had a lot to do with the 3rd game. And, you know, if Peyton Manning can stay healthy and even get a little bit of his arm strength back and some accuracy, still a dangerous team. Number 4. The aforementioned Cincinnati Bengals are 3-0. Andy Dalton's playing unconscious. Gio Bernard's picking up where Jeremy Hill's not. A.J. Green finally emerging a little bit. Tyler Eifert playing well. Since he's got a pretty good defense. Number 3, I'm going New England Patriots. A lot of people have them as the best team right now. But they have a few gaps in defense, which I'm not liking a lot. I mean, Pittsburgh's offense with Ben was in there should have won that game. So I'm going Patriots 3. Number 2, Cardinals. That team is brutal. They're brutal on defense, and their offense is knocking socks off people. And the defense makes so many turnovers, makes so many things happen. I really love the Cardinals. And like Rick and I were saying, Carson Palmer stays healthy. The running backs stay healthy. This is a team that could threaten for the Super Bowl. And number 1 right now, Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers is so good, and the offense is so complete, and defense is playing good enough. I think they could win it all too.
All right, I have mine prepared. There's only going to be
– Oh, he's back in studio.
That's right, back in the studio, headphones off. Little Birdie told me what your top five was, and ours aren't going to be very different. However, my number five team is going to knock your socks off, Rick, and I'm not doing this as a show bit. I quite honestly believe it. My number five team right now is the Buffalo Bills.
This is a
fearsome, game-changing defense. You've got, while McCoy has struggled, it's still a running game getting the job done between Williams and McCoy and what they can do. Tyrod Taylor looks like Colin Kaepernick in that first year when we all twisted our shirts over our heads so excited about Colin Kaepernick. He's still getting away with it. And these guys usually get a season of this. Tyrod Taylor's a legitimate fantasy start each and every week at this point. Blew the doors off of two what we thought playoff teams, right?
Right, yeah.
In the Colts and in the Dolphins. And while everybody talks about how they got dominated by the New England Patriots, and for stretches they did at the end of the game, that was a one-possession game.
Right.
Buffalo Bills are for real, I believe. Now, the way things happen in Buffalo, this apple could roll off the table at any minute now. But right now, to me, the Buffalo Bills are the fifth most team that I would not want to face right now as an NFL fan. Number four, Cincinnati Bengals, you know, just doing it right. Good, solid offensively, solid defensively. Look, does it last? I think Andy Dalton comes back to earth a little bit. But with that running back situation they have, with an A.J. Green, with a top defense like they have, love the Bengals. I got the Cardinals at number three. Look, if Carson Palmer stays healthy, this may be the one team that can beat the Packers. Number two, I got the Patriots, one Packers. You could flip those any way you want them. Do they play this year? I don't think they do. It's a game I would love to see, but probably what your Super Bowl is going to be. So Packers, Patriots, Cardinals, Bengals, and I bring in the surprise a little bit with the Buffalo Bills.
Okay. You know, I thought about Buffalo, but I just kind of like just what Denver's brought to the table defensively as well, and I think the offense is still a little bit better. But, you know, you can flip a coin in those. Okay, how about the bottom five? We have a couple minutes left. I can run through mine if you want. You can leave studio if you want.
Let me take my headphones off again.
Okay, let's see. There's 32 teams. 28. Tampa Bay Bucks. It's hard to buy into, you know, a brand-new offense like that. Doug Martin, I think, still a little overhyped. You know, although he's looking okay. Mike Evans is back. They've won a game. They beat New Orleans in the dome. So, you know, I think they're trending a little bit in the right direction, but, you know, they're rebuilding and they're young. 29, the Dolphins. They offensively cannot do anything save for Rishard Matthews. But the defense is letting them down as well. And I'm not exactly sure what's going on with Miami. We expected a lot more than what we're getting right now. 30, the Saints. You know, looking more like the Aints all over again. Drew Brees already banged up. They're just not getting the job done. They can't stop anybody. And you know what? They don't scare anybody at home anymore. It used to be it was automatic. You go to the dome, you might as well just get out of there. But, you know, they've lost – I don't know what it is. I'd have to look it up. I saw it one time. They lost, like, the last five or six games in the dome. 31, the Lions. Horrifying. I don't know what's going on with the offense. Save Calvin Johnson showing a few little splashes here and there. Matt Stafford is exactly who I thought Matt Stafford was. He's mediocre at best. The defense is nothing compared to what it was last year with all the losses they've had. And I don't like the Lions. But the worst team just got blanked 26-0 this past week. And even Jay Cutler's out. Chicago. I mean, there's nothing I like about Chicago right now. Their defense stinks. Their offense is really crippled with Cutler out of there. And that's saying something because Cutler has really underwhelmed, you know, despite all the money they dumped at him. He's not a leader, but they look really bad now.
Yeah, Rick, I think we have a lot of agreement there. I'll just go through them. We are up against the top of the hour here. At 28, I have the Detroit Lions for all the reasons you laid out. For all the weapons that team has offensively, there's just no sparkle to them. You don't fear them. It may be Matt Stafford. Calvin Johnson's taken a step back. a bigger step back than I expected go heading into the season, quite frankly. For me, the Saints are at 29. I think they could be higher on this list. I'm giving them a Drew Brees discount here, I think. I have to believe if he gets healthy, a Drew Brees-led team could be dangerous any given week. The defense is horrific. They've got some weapons offensively. If you could get Drew Brees back healthy, that team could get better. At 30, the Tampa Bay Bucs, just lacking in all areas. Jameis Winston's still growing. They're going to have some real growing pains this year, but could be a team in the future heading in the right direction. For me at 31, Rick, the San Francisco 49ers. Look, they really impressed in week one, and then we really saw what we thought we were going to see in weeks
two. They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Thank you for that. But it just really saw their stripes, and I think that's who the 49ers are. And I agree, 32 with the Bears. They were bad going in. Then you lose your quarterback for an extended period of time. And now on what is a horrific defense, they spent the entire week trading away any legitimate NFL talent they had on the right defensive side of the ball. You know, this is a baseball move where you're deciding to rebuild. You don't see this in the NFL. So if the Chicago Bears brass has given up on that team, I'm certainly going to give up on that team, and it's going to be a long, long, hard season there on the midway, I believe.
Yeah, there's no question about that. This is a two-win team we're looking at. Yeah,
maybe.
Yahweh points them in the right direction.
Yeah,
they might win
maybe
too.
Football Yahweh will throw them one here or there. All right. Well, it is past time. You got bonus time, OT, here on the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show. Thanks so much for joining us this week. It was great to be back. And I got to admit, Rick, it was kind of nice having you back in studio.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was great being here. I mean, I needed to bring us down a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. So, bring us back to earth. So
right.
That's it. Saturday, 1 o'clock Eastern, Fantasy Sports Network, Cablevision, Channel 147, and providers, quite frankly, all over the country. So check your local listings, see if you have the Fantasy Sports Network. Hear your boys, an all-new episode of the show Saturday, 1 o'clock Eastern.
If not, get on FantasySportsNetwork.com. Get yourself a little free account, and you can watch it live right there free on the Internet.
Free and easy. You can see it. 10 o'clock Eastern Sunday, the Sunday morning Inside Slant. All your headlines, your questions, the mailbag, the chat room, everything you need, we are there. 10 o'clock Eastern, Blog Talk Radio, AsylumFantasySports.com. So until Saturday or Sunday or next week, we'll see you.
Take care. And the hicks, jocks and bikers, they all came to kick it in the sticks. So pop a top and drop a tailgate. Yeah, we're cracking up AC/DC, Hank Skinner, and George Strait. Where's the girls? About to call them up. A little southern draw said, hey, trouble, what's up? It's going down tonight. Now they're pulling up and got jacked up trucks, slap cut.